But time now to introduce my guest this weekend, Elspeth Gray, a lady who has done sterling work behind the scenes for the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society, operating from headquarters at Coates Crescent in Edinburgh, and she recently retired as membership secretary. Before we chat, here's a dance from Book 40 of the Society with the title of EH37AF, and there is no tune of the Pentland Jig. The band, the Craigowl Scottish Dance Band.
Thank you.
Well, Elspeth, welcome to Take the Floor.
Thanks very much, Robbie. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, delighted. There's really no need to ask you why you picked that opening track, but please remind our listeners.
Well, EH37AF is the postcode for RSCDS headquarters in Edinburgh. The dance was devised by Roy Goldring, and it's just a very nice memory for me of where I've been working for the last 14 and a half years, and that was why I chose it.
Excellent. Well, I believe you're from Chapel Hall near Airdrie.
I am indeed.
Well, my producer comes from Airdrie, and she assures me that's not why we invited you on as guest.
So she told me.
But congratulations on your work with the RSCDS for the last 14 years.
Thank you very much.
Enjoyable?
Mostly, yes. I mean, there have been moments where it's not been perhaps quite so much fun, but on the whole, it has been really interesting and just great to be in touch with so many people from all over the world and to be involved in something that's so much a part of Scottish culture. It's been great.
Excellent. And personally from me, thank you for all the help you give me when I call. But before we chat about the role, can you remember your own introduction to Scottish dancing?
Well, yes, I can. It was at school. Folks of my age in Scotland will probably share the memory of doing Scottish country dancing for our Christmas dance each year. And it was mostly the kind of Cayley-type dances that we would have done. But it was fun, if sometimes not quite as it should be with kind of clod-hopping teenage boys, you know. But that was my first introduction to it. And it was always around at home. There was always music around in the family. And my mum did Scottish country dancing for many years and eventually persuaded my dad to join her. So he did it for a number of years as well. So it's always been around in my youth.
And did daughter Elspeth follow on?
I have to say, no, I didn't.
What?
I didn't follow on with the Scottish country dancing. I kind of went away from it a bit, I suppose, in beyond teenage years, and I got more interested in folk music and other kinds of music. But I've certainly gone back to doing Cayley dance again. I haven't done Scottish country dancing, but you never know, I might just take it up in retirement.
Well, here's hoping you do. Well, you mentioned folk music there.
Yes.
What type?
Oh, all sorts of folk music. The second track that I've chosen today is a piece of fiddle music. I really particularly like the fiddle. All kinds of Scottish folk music and other folk music too from other countries I'm really interested in, really enjoy listening to.
So then, you're not a Scottish country dancer, but
no.
Why take on a role with the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society when you're not?
Well, the job didn't actually specify that you had to be a dancer, and it just was a really interesting job. The main requirements were sort of administrative and people skills and things that I had, and as I said already, I think Scottish country dancing is a really important part of Scottish culture, and I was really keen to be involved in that. And when I started the job, there was a question of whether I did ask myself whether I ought to take up Scottish country dancing to perhaps understand a bit more about what was going on. But I actually made the decision not to do that and to keep just a little bit of distance from it, which I thought might be helpful in the job.
That's excellent. Can you explain then exactly what your role was within the society?
Well, when I started in 2000, I was the secretary of the society. So it was really managing the staff at headquarters and all the activities that go on there and being responsible to the executive council, as it was then, being in touch with all the branches all over the world and just keeping all the headquarters functions running as effectively as I could. I did then, in 2009, I took a step back and went down to 4 days a week and became membership secretary. That was at the point when Liz Foster was taken on as executive officer, because it was felt there was a need to have more external kind of input, to liaise more with outside bodies and to do more strategic work, which wasn't really where my strengths lay. So, as I say, I kind of took a step back to become membership secretary at that point, focusing on communications with members and with branches and affiliated groups around the world.
Interesting indeed. So in early years for you, how many branches were there then?
Oh gosh, now you're asking. I can tell you there's 161 now. When I started, I think I'm right in saying there was about 172, so we have lost quite a few over recent years. And I suspect we might lose one or two more. There are some very small branches that are struggling to keep going. They have an ageing membership and folks aren't very keen to take on the roles that are required to keep a branch going of secretary, chairman, treasurer and so on in some places. But, you know, in other places, they're thriving. So, you know, you can't say one thing applies to all the branches. It's very much a different picture in different parts of the world.
Do you enjoy the development, then, of the overseas branches?
Absolutely. I mean, what I've been particularly interested to see in recent years is the growth in dancing among young people in Europe, because we've had branches set up in central Germany and in Italy, and they don't have some of the problems that branches elsewhere have of getting younger people to dance. So I don't know what we need to do to tap into that and try and spread it.
Now, a lovely article in the Scottish Country Dancers magazine, Elspeth Gray as Ither Seaher. Some lovely expressions.
Very embarrassing.
A lot of nice words and praise for your people skills. So you mentioned briefly that that's important in that role, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And it's something that I have felt is important in any job that I've held, is the ability to get on with people at all kinds of levels. And I suppose it kind of comes naturally to me, but it is something that I think is really important, yeah.
Yeah, and when you first meet in with somebody, one that wants to start an overseas branch, it's a case of courting them in a way, giving them an encouragement to join in.
Absolutely, absolutely, and as much help as possible, help and advice. You know, when they're just setting out and they're trying to get their constitutions together and think about how they might operate and what's the best way to do this, that, whatever. It's really important to be as supportive as possible at that point. So I hope I've helped one or two of them along the way there.
You certainly have, by the praises coming your way. But you mentioned there you're interested in folk music and in the fiddle. And you mentioned your second choice of music. So what's it to be?
Now, I'm not sure I'm going to get the pronunciation of this right because it's Gaelic. But
join the clan.
I think it's An Riven Dawn.
Yeah.
And it's from Duncan Chisholm's album called Afric. It's the first track. It's very short, but it's lovely.
Well, explain why you've chosen it then.
It's just, as I said already, I really love the fiddle, and I just find this tune very haunting and very moving. I just really like it.
Okay, let's listen to it right now.
Okay.
So Haunting, So Beautiful, and Even Dawn by Duncan Chisholm. The choice of my guest, Alfred Gray, just retired after 14 years, dedicated to the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society's membership secretary. I agree with you. There's a haunting feel. You just feel absolutely you're in that area, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, the CD is called Afric, and Glenafric is one of the places in Scotland that I've never been to, and I'm determined to get to there. Now I'm retired, and I've got the time to gad about a bit.
Well, I'll tell you something, that fiddle will lead you there.
Absolutely.
One of the highlights I know for you has been your involvement with the summer schools. Indeed. Now, your music skills, your people skills are required there. How much heartache did it bring you?
Well, to be honest, it doesn't bring me that much, or didn't bring me that much heartache, because I personally wasn't that involved in the actual administration of all, taking all the bookings and all that kind of thing. I have to say that was done exceptionally well by various of my colleagues over the years, and really all I had to do was to turn up and man the office and just, you know, deal with whatever kind of came along at summer school.
You so make it not sound so simple.
Well, you know, most of the time it was. Yeah. There's always things happen, and you just deal with them as you go along.
Yeah, and it would be nice to meet people from all over the world and be able to Absolutely. Put faces to the names.
Exactly, exactly. Because, you know, working away in Coates Crescent, we don't actually get to meet that many people, even though we have a lot of communication by phone, by email, by letter and so on. The chance to actually meet folk and put names to faces was lovely, really lovely.
Yeah, and when they all gather for the summer school and people from different countries meeting each other, that must be very satisfying.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. It's, as I say again, you know, you're working away in Coates Crescent, working away in the office, doing all these things that are to do with Scottish country dancing, but it's not until events like summer school and the annual conference weekend and AGM that you actually see the folk out there doing what it is that it's all about, you know, and just this big family that Miss Milligan used to talk about and that people still talk about, getting together from all over the world. It's really something quite special.
It must be in a great buzz.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Particularly good to be at summer school during the musicians' course weeks, because there's just music going on everywhere, every wee corner. There's somebody having a wee play at something, and that's great.
Well, come on then. At events such as these, were you never tempted to dance?
Well, I have to say, at summer school, where we often have a couple of evenings of ceilidh dancing, I definitely joined in the ceilidh dancing there. But no, I didn't join in the Scottish country dancing. I love to watch it. I love to listen to the music and watch the bands and just watch people having a really great time and be around for people to come and talk to me if they wanted to, you know.
And how much then, you mentioned the bands, how much have you got to do with the bands and musicians then?
I had a little bit more at one point, kind of in earlier years when I was a wee bit more involved with the publications committee and more involved with production of books and recordings. And I had a fair bit of contact with bands and so on then, but less so in latter years, to be honest. Yeah. But we're so lucky in this country to have so many really, really talented bands and musicians.
And very willing, too.
And very willing, absolutely.
Yeah, they're certainly adding to your scene, but changes in technology and communications, of course. You're getting around, are you not, to complete all the different books of dances? You started off with the LPs, you're on to CDs now. Are you bridging that gap?
Yeah, well, everything's... I think we've now recorded most of the books on CD. There's still a little bit more to kind of finalise that project, but we're almost there. And the next thing will be, I'm quite sure, downloads.
Yes.
That will come, I'm quite sure. I haven't really been involved in the process, but I understand that it's a bit more complicated than you might think, and there's a lot of things still to be worked out, but I'm quite sure that's where we're heading eventually.
Yeah, indeed. So, after 14 years, what made you want to give up?
Well, I had a 60th birthday.
Ah, well.
And, I had kind of always thought that I would like to retire at 60 if I could, and although I won't get my state pension for quite a few years yet, I'm going to be able to do it. I think I might need to do a wee bit of work here and there to keep me going, but I felt it was the right time for me. And actually, it's probably about the right time for the organisation as well, because, you know, with the best will in the world, when you've been in a job for a long time, you do lose a bit of your spark and enthusiasm. And I think it's probably time for new people, fresh blood to come in and, you know, with the drive and the energy to take the society forward into the next few years.
Yeah, but to follow your example, surely. Now, what are you going to do now as a Lady Alicia?
Well, you know, I really don't have any fixed plans. I want to just kind of take a little bit of time to just enjoy not being at work and see what comes along. I shall hopefully spend a bit more time in my garden and get out and do a bit more walking and maybe cycling and go to the pictures a bit more, go to the theatre, go and see exhibitions, and as I said earlier, perhaps do a bit of gadding about and get to bits of Scotland that I've never had the chance to visit.
Yeah, but one thing you've never mentioned, are you tempted to go and buy up near a dancing pump?
Well, I'm not committing myself to that yet, Robbie. But well, you never know.
Well, Elspeth, congratulations on your 14 years.
Thank you.
Here's to a long, healthy and happy return.
Thank you very much. And can I just say one final thing?
Yeah.
I was so overwhelmed and pleased to receive an incredible number of cards and messages of good wishes when I retired. And last week had a presentation of a collection that was taken from the members, and I was quite taken aback, I have to say. So can I just use this as an opportunity to say thank you so much to everybody. It's been great, and I know I'll stay in contact with a lot of people, and I'll certainly be keeping an eye on how the RSCDS is doing.
Excellent. Well, let's enjoy your final choice of music. What have you gone for?
The final track is David Russell Hall from Book 42, recorded by Marian Anderson. As I said before, we have so many fantastic bands in this country, but I have to say that Marian's one that I always love watching because she just always seems to be enjoying herself so much. And the David Russell Hall is a link with summer school, which has got lots of nice memories for me.
This is from the CD in the Scottish Country Dances to celebrate the 70th summer school held in St Andrews. Again, Elspeth, thanks very much and happy retirement.
Thank you, Robbie. All the best to you.
Marian Anderson and her Scottish Dance Band, and the dance David Russell Hall from Book 42 of the Royal Scottish Country Dance Society. Thanks again to Elspeth Gray for a most interesting chat behind the scenes at the Society's headquarters. Again, enjoy that leisure time, Elspeth.